The Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to Luke, chapter 23, beginning at verse 33. Glory to you, Lord Jesus Christ. When they came to the place that is called the Skull, they crucified Jesus there with the criminals, one on his right and one on his left. Then Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they're doing." And they cast lots to divide his clothing. And the people stood by watching, but the leaders scoffed at him, saying, "He saved others. Let him save himself if he is the Messiah of God, his chosen one." The soldiers also mocked him, coming up and offering him sour wine and saying, "If you are the King of the Jews, save yourself." There was also an inscription over him, "This is the King of the Jews." One of the criminals who was hanged there kept deriding him and saying, "Are you not the Messiah? Save yourself and us." But the other rebuked him, saying, "Do you not fear God, since you are under the same sentence of condemnation? And we indeed have been condemned justly, for we are getting what we deserve for our deeds. But this man has done nothing wrong." Then he said, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." Jesus replied, "Truly I tell you, today you will be with me in paradise." For the Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. In the name of God, who is Creator, Redeemer, and Sanctifier. Amen. Please be seated. So today, as I said, we're celebrating the Feast of Christ the King. This week marks the end of the current Christian year, and next Sunday we begin Advent and a new year, year A, in the church calendar. Our readings give us very different images of a king. In the Hebrew scriptures, we're presented with the image of David, the faithful king, the shepherd king, who cared for and nurtured his flock. And we hear how King David relied on and held true to the covenant, of how King David's very being was a promise of the king who would come and nurture us all, the very king whom we celebrate this day. The images and human qualities that David portrayed are ones that we're comfortable with, which we like to think all kings would possess, even if history has proven otherwise. I always like to watch some of the series, especially some of the BBC type ones. Did you ever see Gunpowder, Treason and Plot? Anybody see that series? It's pretty graphic, wasn't it? Pretty awful. But it also gave you a bit of an idea of the shenanigans that went on behind the times in the time of Queen Elizabeth I. There's always a fair bit that's going on in the courts behind the scenes and that. So in our gospel reading, we come face to face with the great paradox of Christ, the King of the Jews, who is hung on the cross to die between two criminals. And we're given an image of a broken and suffering man, a man upon whom we are asked to place our trust and hope. So this is the paradox of the gospel, of our faith, and it's what forms us as a people. Walter Brueggemann will try to show this sort of upside down, inside out way of living in these words when he sort of went through Jesus' life and tried to sort of get that concept to us. So these are his words. "Here is the humble son of Mary, the apprentice of an earthly father, Joseph the carpenter, a village man who became an itinerant preacher and healer, a man who listened to women with an unusual respect in what was a man's world, a misunderstood man who spent nights out on the hills with only grass for a mattress. Here is a young physician who actually touched untouchable lepers, a blesser of grubby street kids. a dinner guest among people who today would be equivalent to bikies and beach bums. The saviour trusted by prostitutes and tax collectors, friend of foreigners and fishermen, a servant washing the feet of guests, a soul in agony, praying in an olive grove before being betrayed by a disciple, prisoner in a kangaroo court, abused by the police guards, condemned man, mocked, flogged, and spat upon, a victim carrying his own cross to the place of the skull, the crucified man speaking forgiveness to his foes, a corpse hastily buried in a borrowed tomb, the stranger walking with men on the road to Emmaus, a host with wounded hands cooking a fish breakfast for his mates on the shore of Galilee. They were the words that Walter Brueggemann used to describe Jesus. We have no other king like this one. This Jesus who is our Saviour and Lord, yet lords it over no one. Always, always central is his cross, his reconciling love, and the promise of universal peace. The whole Gospel of Luke that we've been following throughout the year is fond of presenting us with paradoxes like this. All of our expectations about society, personal responsibility, and our relationships with things of this world are turned upside down. The lowly are exalted. Sinners are called righteous. The one who dies gives life. So we close this liturgical year with the ultimate paradox. The one to whom we offer glory and honour and praise is lifted high for all to see, but lifted high in a way where he's powerless and hanging on the cross. And it is this whole different way of looking at things because of Jesus that's been our story this year. We've been asked to think about how everything that we look at and everything we experience can be transformed by the cross of Jesus, by his resurrection, by his love. Our relationships with one another, with those we love, and with those we only tolerate are transformed. Our failures and successes, our sorrows and joys are all different because we've been formed by the Shepherd King who loves us. A king who kneels, a king who feels fear, a king who asks for help, a king who stays tender even when his friends fall short, a king who knows suffering not from a distance, but from the inside. And honestly, that's the kind of king a lot of people in this world long for. Someone who understands, someone who holds steady, someone who doesn't run away when things get messy. I remember once speaking to a woman who'd lost someone really close to her, and she said, "I don't need answers right now. I just need Jesus to sit with me in the dark." And I thought to myself, this is exactly the kind of king that we're given. Not the kind who stands on the mountaintops shouting out instructions, but the kind who sits in the garden with you and says, "I know this place. I've been here. I won't leave you." Christ the King doesn't reign from a velvet-draped throne. He reigns from a heart that chooses love, even when the cost is high. And that, I think, is one of the greatest gifts of Christ's kingship. Where we see our failures, he sees possibilities. Where we see our mess, he sees the seeds of growth. Where we see the end of the road, he sees resurrection waiting on the other side. This king doesn't give up on people. He doesn't give up on the disciples who fall asleep in his hour of need. He doesn't give up on the friend who denies him three times. And he doesn't give up on the world that misunderstands him. He doesn't give up on us either. So maybe the heart of this story, at least the heart that speaks the most clearly to me, is Christ reigns not by rising above our humanity, but by entering into it. He doesn't rule from a distance, he walks with us. And he doesn't demand that we become fearless, he actually strengthens us. He doesn't shame our weakness, he accompanies it. And he doesn't expect us to have it all together, thank goodness. He simply invites us to stay with him. Even if our staying looks imperfect and maybe a little bit wobbly at times. And if that's the kind of king that we're celebrating today, a king who kneels, a king who prays, a king who feels, and a king who loves, then maybe the invitation is simply to let him be that king for us. For he's not the king of our perfect moments, but the king of our heavy-hearted gardens and sometimes uncertain, stumbling discipleship. What we see is the kind of leadership that comes from love rather than power. We have a king who understands, a king who stays, a king who carries us through the night and into the dawn. So as our church year comes to a close with our king on a cross, I want to leave you with an image of a cross that I read about. It's a cross that hangs in a church in America, and it's a large, rough, wooden cross. And the figure of Jesus is made from broken pieces of mirror. Roughly cut, they're placed on the cross, much like we would place pieces of a jigsaw puzzle together. And it's an image that people either like a lot or find deeply, deeply disturbing. Because when you look at that image, you see your own image reflected in the brokenness of Christ. It's an image which reminds us of Christ's servanthood and of our call as Christians to serve the one who gave his all for us. So as we reach out to those around us in gentle, caring ways, may the truth of Christ's kingship spur us on to living our lives for him and for others. The Lord be with you.